In an extraordinary interview last night on Channel 4 News, Alan Wilson, the Bishop of Buckingham, raised a number of issues around the ongoing saga of the abuse connected to the UN Trust camps, and in the midst of all that made a rather alarming allegation about the current Archbishop of Canterbury. Let's remind ourselves of what we know from the last two nights of reports on the Channel 4 News and other material in newspapers. John Smythe, the then chair of the UN Trust, is accused of administering physical punishment to a number of boys who attended Winchester School, one of the leading private schools in the UK, and who had also attended the UN Trust camps. Clear allegations were made about abuse occurring at properties that Smythe owned. It is less clear whether the abuse actually occurred during the UN Trust camps themselves, but The Guardian has a report of one UN Trust campee having a meeting with Smythe at Magdalen College and then afterwards being in pain as he sat down for dinner. But this is all really besides the point as to where the abuse took place. The then trustees of the UN Trust were told about the abuse in 1982, and an investigation conducted by the Reverend Mark Ruston documented very clearly what had happened. The response to that report appears to be, from the standards of safeguarding in the year 2017, shocking. Smythe was basically told to leave the country, but no complaints were made to the police or to anybody else in the Church of England hierarchy. Both the then leadership of the UN Trust and the leadership of Winchester School refer to wanting to protect the boys involved from any more distress as the reason not to alert the authorities. We can see, with 35 years benefit of hindsight and pastoral and safeguarding experience, how that was a wrong decision. But I can also understand why they thought at the time that this was the best way to exercise their duty of care to the boys in their charge. But let's be absolutely clear though, that decision was wrong and they should have reported the allegations to the police. Let's look at what Alan Wilson said in his interview last night that is to be commended. He talked about, and I quote, "The mentality of these people who have been immensely influential in the Church of England," close quote. And later on he said, I quote, "The sense of arrogance and entitlement and being entitled to somehow have other people defer to you," close quote. I think these are critiques of part of the conservative evangelical constituency in the Church of England that are worth making. In my 20 years as a Christian, mixing with people all across the evangelical spectrum in the Church of England, I have encountered at many times a tendency amongst the minority to assume that they are the guardians of orthodoxy, and on that basis they shouldn't be questioned about their motives and actions, and that any criticism of things that have gone wrong or actions that were inappropriate is distracting from the gospel. There is an attitude of "daddy knows best" and "don't rock the boat" that tends to want to brush things under the carpet for the sake of appearances. Even in the last 48 hours, I have been aware of pressure, subtle but pressure nonetheless, being applied on people simply for having posted links to media reports about this issue on their Facebook pages. There are still people today in 2017 who take the attitude of, by even posting a link to this, you are damaging our constituency, so you shouldn't. And that attitude is wrong. It seems to be what happened exactly in 1982 and potentially afterwards. It was more important to avoid bad publicity than it was to do the right thing, to be transparent and open, and to face the consequences regardless of the pain involved. I wrote my own Oxford dissertation on issues of truth and deceit, inspired by some of my own personal wrestling with the tendency I have to hide the truth of my failures. And I see in the behaviour of many in the church the same behaviour, the same attitude, that it would be better to ignore and move on rather than grapple with the hard pain of wrongdoing. Perhaps one day we'll do a podcast on the issue of purgation and mortification, the spirituality of allowing yourself to see spiritual and emotional death in order to let Christ rise something new in you, as a contrast to the inflicted pain of discipline that is alleged in these reports. But for now, back to the interview with Alan Wilson. Let's skip over the attempt to make a direct association between substitutionary atonement, which after all is the soteriology of the Book of Common Prayer, a link between that and the abuse allegedly conducted by Smythe. Let's just ignore the shameless politicisation of the issue by Wilson, linking it to the current discussions around sex and marriage in the Church of England. And this itself raises the question as to why Alan Wilson and Jane O'Zan were asked for an interview on this issue when they have nothing to do with the Iwan Trust at all and are simply liberal spokespeople. No. There was one thing that jumped from the screen as I watched the interview last night, as I came in from having enjoyed, or perhaps endured, La La Land with my wife and friends. Let me read for you Alan Wilson's exact words that he used last night when asked about Archbishop Justin's connection to the allegations. First he said, and I quote, "Well, I think he said all that he can personally about his involvement in it. He was very young when all this happened." Close quote. Later on in the interview, however, Kathy Newman presses him and asks him this specific question. I quote, "I just want to press you on the Archbishop. I mean, he shared lodgings with the vicar, who then went on later to set out all the details of this alleged abuse in the report that we've been talking about in 1982. And then another friend of the Archbishop, the Reverend David Fletcher, commissioned that report. Do you believe that it's credible that the Archbishop didn't hear of any of these allegations until 2013, all those years later?" Close quote. Before we look at Alan Wilson's response to that question, let's be very clear about what it is that Kathy Newman is asking in her question. She raises the fact that Welby lodged at the home of the vicar, who later went on to write the report on Smythe for the Ewan trustees. But it's clear that Welby did not live with Ruston at the time the allegations were made and the report was written. Kathy Newman then makes the link between David Fletcher, who commissioned a report and with whom Welby has had some kind of relationship. But again, there is absolutely no evidence that Welby knew about the report or was involved in it in any way. So when Kathy Newman raises the open question as whether there is any notion that the Archbishop of Canterbury did know about these allegations before 2013, there are clear, obvious paths of response that avoid any hint of slander. And as you listen to the response of Alan Wilson, remember that the key allegation against the leadership of the Ewan Trust is that they knew that criminal offences had taken place, but they hadn't told the police. So in that context, I quote to you Alan Wilson's reply to Kathy Newman. I quote, "Well, I think when you're young, you accept things from people you look up to and admire. I think all of us do that. As I say, the theological blind spot is the most extraordinary bit of this. I'm sure he acted in good faith by, you know, the standards of the day and the way he was at the time and his group of friends, that kind of close behaviour between people who were involved in these camps. I'm sure they knew one another and I'm absolutely sure that they talked about it." Close quote. Am I the only one who thinks that this is an extraordinary allegation to make about the current Archbishop? Wilson says of him, quote, "he acted in good faith," close quote. But he also says, "I'm sure they," where "they" here includes Justin Welby, "I'm sure they knew one another and I'm absolutely sure that they talked about it." And "it" here clearly refers to the abuse. What is Alan Wilson saying here? He seems to be alleging that Justin Welby would have known about the abuse back in the early 80s, but he somehow ignored it. Certainly, such a statement in response to a question asking whether Justin Welby is correct in saying he only knew about the abuse in 2013 cannot be interpreted in any other way than accusing the Archbishop of not being 100% accurate in his public statements on this issue. It seems to me that at the best, the Bishop of Buckingham is accusing Justin Welby of being aware of rumours of this behaviour over 35 years ago, but having forgotten about it in more recent years. Or, at worst, Alan Wilson accuses the Archbishop of Canterbury of deliberately lying when he told the media that the first he knew about it was in 2013. But either way, it is beyond a shadow of a doubt that Alan Wilson is saying that the Archbishop of Canterbury was simply incorrect, whether willfully or unconsciously, of saying that the first time he knew about these allegations was 2013. But let's just think a little bit more about this, about timescales. These allegations were made in 1982. They were looked into by the UN Trust in 1982. We don't know when the allegations refer to. Were they allegations of events that had happened in the 80s or earlier? Because here's the thing. Justin Welby moved to Paris in 1978. And before that, he was only an officer in the UN Trust, not an attendee, but an officer in the mid-70s. So he wasn't staying overnight, as it were, with the dormitories and having that tittle-tattle. He was helping at the camps. And there is no evidence that he was helping at the camps beyond the mid-1970s, even if he may have made a visit in the late 80s or early 90s, way after these allegations and way after Smith went off to Africa. So we have Bishop Alan Wilson, to all intents and purposes, accusing the Archbishop of Canterbury of not being 100% true, whether willfully or unconsciously, of not being 100% true about saying that the first that he knew about these allegations was 2013. And that allegation that the Archbishop is being untrue, I'm afraid to say, is not acceptable behaviour from a bishop of the Church of England. It seems to me that Alan Wilson now needs to clarify exactly what he is and isn't accusing the Archbishop of Canterbury of knowing prior to 2013. At the moment, he is insinuating that Justin Welby knew about this abuse, or at least was aware of rumours of it 30 years before Justin Welby says he first knew about them. That's an incredibly serious allegation. It is incredibly serious for a bishop to publicly, in public, on TV, on primetime news, to publicly accuse the leader of the Church of England of being less than honest in his statements in the media. I have to tell you, listeners, that I fear that the allegations of abuse we have so far heard about are just the tip of the iceberg. It may be that more will emerge over the coming days and weeks that will force the Conservative evangelical constituency in the Church of England to take a good, hard look at patterns of behaviour and deference that have built up over previous decades that are unhealthy and ungodly. But that is simply not an excuse for politicising a safeguarding issue and using it to attack the Archbishop of Canterbury. Alan Wilson needs to make it very clear what he is and isn't accusing Justin Welby of knowing before 2013. And if necessary, he should apologise in public for making that insinuation that Welby's statement about his knowledge of these events was less than honest. Either Welby was dissembling or Alan Wilson is downright wrong in his insinuations. Which of the two is it? This is Radio Free Canterbury, and I'm Peter Ault.